Today's episode is about friendship, and it is quite personal. I invite my best friend, Cindy, onto the podcast, and we talk about what makes our 30-year friendship work, how we are completely different, yet we're such good friends. What is empathy in a friendship, and can parents really be friends with their kids? I hope you enjoy this episode and listen to it with open ears and an open heart, and welcome back to How I Got Through It. I think every good relationship starts with friendship, whether it's a parent and child, it is siblings, it's a romantic relationship, coworkers even, and just friends that you meet. That foundation of friendship has to be there. I really want to get into friendship and what makes a good friendship, and why do you think that we have had what I think it's like, what, 30 years of a friendship?
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Nuts.
That's crazy.
Some people come to me for advice on different things and my perspective on certain things. And it's so funny because you're the person that I run to when I want advice or like when something's going on in my life. Like you're the person that I run to with these things. And you know me more than anyone knows me. You know every single thing about me, which is just... You know, there's a lot of people married that don't know
it's true
that we know about each other. And
it's so true. It's so true. We literally can just get on a call and spill everything.
Yeah. The good, the bad, the ugly,
everything.
You taught me that there's a no judgment zone in our relationship, which we'll get into, but I think it really makes for a comfortable relationship regardless. So let's start with, how the hell did we become friends?
For me, what I remember, we were introduced through our families, like your mom and my mom, and we would go to Mandir together, and the friendship between our parents started building then. And then obviously we're the kids, so we have to tag along, right?
Right.
Us being not too far in age, we didn't get along at first, and not that we didn't get along, it's just you were a lot quieter, you were a lot shyer, and I was a bit more loud, if that's what you want to call it. But we started as kids where you would come over and spend some nights and you would just be so quiet, and I would feel like, oh my god, poor thing, like is she comfortable? Should I ask her, like, does she want anything? But you were just quiet. You were always around, but you just never really said much of anything. Mm-hmm. As we got a little bit older, we went into our teenage years. Obviously, we became closer. We became a lot more comfortable with one another. We would absolutely have our phone conversations, and we can't wait to get to Mandir on a Sunday to see one another and talk about boys and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
But I think our real bond, like our true bond, what we've built right now and we are still building, happened in adulthood. I believe that our friendship really took off in adulthood. And this is when I was already living here in Canada. I was here for about, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years at that time. And I had Terrell, my first child. And I remember being at work and just randomly checking my Facebook. And I saw I had a new friend request. And from that day, I remember so clearly from that day, we got in touch and we never lost touch again. And it didn't have to be every day, but from that day, we literally took off. And that to me is when our real, solid, true friendship started building. It became more than just a meeting at childhood or our families knowing one another, so we didn't have a choice. It then was our choice to remain friends up until this point. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And just to go back to childhood, I think you're right. The reason that I gravitated towards you is because you were that loud, outspoken person, and you always had a voice to
give about something. You always had an opinion on something, whether it was a boy or whether it was an outfit or food, how you felt about washing the dishes. Yeah. Like, you had something to say. And I, as a child, was so just quiet and observant. And I always yearned for having a voice, speaking my opinion. That's why it's so funny that I have a show where I speak. Know. You know, now I've kind of like come full circle with that. But I really always wanted to know to do what you were doing, right? Yeah. And I think that's why I just hung around you, like not even saying anything, just hung around. I felt like maybe somehow I could get that into my veins or something. For me, for childhood, that's kind of like why I think I gravitated towards you. And then, yes, you're right. Like in adulthood, I think that we have such a solid friendship because we go through the peaks and valleys of life together. Oh, yeah. Like you're down in the dumps with me. I'm down in the dumps with you about things. Yeah. We're sounding boards for each other. It's also really lovely to have you as a friend because in the high moments, you're like just such a good cheerleader to me as well. You bring out the things in me too that I sometimes forget about myself. So maybe we talk about that a little bit. Like,
yeah,
you know, absolutely. In adulthood, what do you think makes a good friendship, or like what makes our friendship really good?
Here's the thing. I don't think there's one thing or a list of like textbook things that, you know, check mark this, check mark that. Yes. And this is why we have a solid friendship. Every relationship is individual, right? Whether it's a friendship between girls or a girl and boy or friendship with your family or anybody, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Beyond that, I think the choice that we made to just remain friends and be loyal to one another and to be there for each other day in, day out. And we don't have conversations every day. Right. We don't text every day. We don't call every day. But we do make time to have those conversations when we know, okay, we haven't had a serious conversation in a while, or something might be bothering you or something might be bothering me. We make the time for those things. And I think what works for the two of us is that there's no expectation from either of us. You don't expect anything of me. I don't expect anything of you. There's no judgment between the two of us. And we go into every single situation, every conversation that we have, we go into it with a clean slate. I'm not bringing up the conversation we had 2 months ago or a month ago, or you're not bringing up, you know, what we spoke about a month ago or 2 months ago. We're literally coming into the conversation as, hey, this is new, this is fresh, no expectations of anything. And I think that works for us because every time we have conversations, we bring something to each other. It could be something small. It could be, you know, you telling me, you know what, Sin, here's my perspective about what you're saying to me. And I may not have even thought about it that way.
Yeah.
And same thing, you know, the same thing with you. Like I would say to you, you know what, Anna, you would explain something to me and I'd be like, you know what, but just think of it this way, you know, like, what if, you know, put yourself in that situation and see how it might make you feel if you respond, if somebody responded that way to you, you know? So I feel like the reason why it works for us is that there's no expectations. There's no judgment. We literally go into it with the understanding that there are no surprises here. There never will be.
Yeah.
There are no surprises. You know what I mean? And that for me is important. I don't like friendships, and I can't even call them friendships. I don't like any relationship that I have to almost walk on eggshells around people. I can't fucking deal with that. I speak my language. I cannot deal with that. Like, I can't, whether it be a friendship, a marriage, my relationship with my mom, my kids. If I have to walk on eggshells around you, well, the truth of the matter is, then I really am not that close with you.
Right.
And it really is that simple for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also don't have this entitlement as well. Like if I text you and you don't text me back, I'm never like, oh my God, I cannot believe. Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like that little brat.
You know? I mean, we don't feel like we belong to each other in that way. Like there's no entitlement, right? Like we give each other that space. And it's really important, especially in adult friendships, because there's no manual for friendship, right? Like there's like kind of a manual. There's tons of books on like marriage and there's some on friendships, but friendships today, like for example, I was talking to a girl that's 21 years old and she was saying, you know, in her friendships, if you go out and you don't take a selfie, or if the person says, hey, do you want to take a selfie? And you say no, probably you're saying no because you don't like how your face looks, or you're insecure about something, or you don't have on makeup and you'd rather not, you know, any of these things. That puts a speed bump in the friendship and you might not go further with that person. Because
are you said kidding me right now?
Yeah, like that is kind of what is happening today. It's a lot about external validation in a friendship, in a relationship. And I just feel like we don't have that. Like if you say to me, do you want to take a picture? I'm like, no. And you're like, oh, cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Like whatever.
You know? Say, okay, that's fine. I'll take
You might just take the picture of yourself and like carry on, you know? Like,
yeah. But you see, that's that. And that's the other thing that I tell my kids all the time too. Like, cause I have a daughter, right? You know, Isabella, right? Mm-hmm, and she's going to be 12 in October and, you know, she'll come home and we'll have conversations and stuff. And sometimes she'll say things to me about situations at school and stuff. And I say to her, I'm like, I kind of feel bad for you guys because I don't think your generation understands what being a true friend means, like, yet. And I know she's still fairly young, but I feel there's just so much outside noise going on with social media and the expectation of using filters and this and that. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like back in the day when we had to take a freaking picture. Listen, when you hit snap on that damn camera, you better hope for the best because trust and believe when that go to the photo lab and it come back and your eyes are closed, are you in between a smile or in between a blink? That's the damn picture you're dealing with. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also funny because you used to work at the photo labs. That is so true.
You know, so I'm sorry, I kind of got lost there, but I just say to Isabel, I kind of feel like you guys are going to struggle to have true friends in this generation, like in this day and age. Like struggle to even have one person that you can say, I trust this person. I have two girlfriends that I trust with my whole heart, and that's you and my girlfriend, Ashley. And you guys know the ins, the outs, the good, the bad, the middle ground. You guys know literally everything about me, everything. And I don't feel bad about that at all. Because listen, you are your worst critic. You will always be your worst critic. You look in the mirror every day and you have to look at that reflection staring back at you. And I have things about myself. I have dark places that I go to sometimes and I feel bad about myself. I feel like I'm not a good mom sometimes. I feel like I'm not a good person, a good wife, a good friend, a good daughter. But then I talk to you guys and you guys remind me, like, Sin, honestly, like, you are a good person. And I need that validation. Everybody needs that validation at some point in their life. And for me, you and Ashley literally just bring that sense of calm and that sense of surety to my life that, you know what, I am not a bad person. Some, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, I'm a good person. Like I do add value to people's lives.
Right. So, I think it's not even about good or bad. I think we just remind you of who you really are. And I think that that's what friendship is too. It's like when you go through the good and the bad things in life, the other person helps you carry that burden and then also reminds you who you are. There's this researcher, the scientist, her name's Dr. Brené Brown, and she says, surround yourself with friends that when your light is shining bright, they don't feel the need to blow it out. I feel like also when I'm going through a storm in life, like you kind of like take your hands and you put it around to help save that light that's inside of me, you know?
Absolutely, 100%. Because sometimes when you're going through a really hard part in your life, it's easier to dwell on the bad stuff. It really is. Listen, besides you being one of my best friends, you are like a sister to me and you hurt, I'm gonna hurt. 100%. I may not be there with you physically. We're millions of miles apart. But when you call me and you are feeling down or you text me and you say to me, Sen, like, I'm having a really hard time right now, that affects me. I want to share in whatever it is, the good, the bad, the in-betweens. I want to share in all of it.
I agree with you. I think also too, the thing that in adulthood that has helped me with friendships, just kind of looking and observing people, I kind of look to see with like what Brene Brown says, you know, like you have that light inside of you. And then, but there's sometimes I come back from a dinner or I come back from some kind of experience with somebody and I'm like, wow, I feel like they're trying to blow my candle out. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, they're a blower candle outer and I'm not sure that I want to be around them. And sometimes I have to say, it could also be your parents. Like they could say some really jabbing things and that hurts the friendship part of that relationship with them. And I just noticed that about certain relationships, but I never feel that here.
No,
you know, like I never feel that here. And I think that's the thing that really makes this friendship special. I know you talked about what makes a good friendship long-term, but what are some of the other things that you think that makes us...
that has us where we are right now?
Yeah.
We have a lot of trust for one another. Mm-hmm. Like, and you see, trust is a word, it's kind of like love. It gets thrown around. People just say it and they use it and it's like, oh, I love you. I trust you. Mm-hmm. But what does that actually mean to you? For me, though, I take those things very, very seriously. And if I can't trust you, I am not investing my time in you at all.
Yeah.
Like there is no investment there and there will never be any investment there. And I can see us another 20 years into this. Mm-hmm. 100% I can see us 20 years down the line and we're still going to be as we are, not just as we are, obviously we'll go through our experiences, we'll grow, whatever, but do I see us losing what we have? No, I don't, because we have so much trust in one another and the trust that, not that we're not going to ever hurt each other, because friendships have their ups and downs, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody does. There's some times where I'm sure you just don't want to have a conversation or you just don't want to respond to a text. And I understand that. But I personally trust that if you are having an issue with me, you will come and you will say to me, Sen, I didn't really like how you answered that, or I didn't really like how you responded to this, right?
We actually just went through that and we had a difference in opinion on a person.
Yeah.
And I was very gung-ho for this person. You were like, no, this is not.
I think I had verbal diarrhea with you that morning. After I got off the phone with you, I'm like, yeah, our friendship's over. So God, it's done. I just did that.
But you know, I don't know who said this, but they said that friendship should also be a soft place where for your heart, like a soft place for you to land. And I feel like that's also a place in our friendship where we can bring those opposing views. Mm-hmm. And because we trust each other, we do love each other, that it's okay. Like it's a no judgment. It's okay. Like we could still leave that argument or whatever it is. And I don't hate you. And I know we're not going to cut each other off. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
We're going through a relationship, a friendship thing.
Exactly. Like after we had that conversation and I hung up, I was like, okay, Cindy, you went in a little bit hard on her. But then in my head, the other part of me, this is where the mom part of me kicked in. I was like, but you know what? No, I did not go hard on her. I told her what she needed to hear. And I told her what other people probably are not going to tell her. So you know what? I was like, no, I'm going to stand firm to this because I strongly believe this is my opinion about this person. And I strongly believe that I did not agree with what you were saying.
Yes, right? Exactly.
I did not agree with it at all. And I needed you to know that because at the end of the day, Anna, trust me when I say I have only your best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. And that's my main thing. If I love you and I trust you and I'm investing my time in you, well, know that I only have your best interest at heart. And I'm like that with my kids. I'm like that with my husband. I'm like that. Anybody that I love and I hold dear, I just want you guys to know, like, I just truly, truly want what's best for you.
And I think that we also allow each other to be ourselves. Like, I allowed you to be yourself, you know, like however that was for you, even though we disagreed, still being true to what you really believe in. I was being true to what I really believed in. Mm-hmm. And it just happened that we disagreed on something that was important in my life.
Yeah.
And we still walked away from that. And then we came back the next day and it was fine. Yeah. Like it was fine.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that is really, 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 really important. Like we don't turn against each other.
No.
Because we have these difference in opinions. We let our friendship speak for itself, and we like let all the years and all the time that we've invested in each other speak for itself in those moments where we disagree with each other.
Yep.
And I'm really glad we're talking about this too, because I was reading some statistics that says that for men especially, one in every five men have a good male friend that is not related to sports, or that's not a coworker, or, you know, that they have this other common thing that they've become friends with. Like you and I are friends. We probably don't even, we're actually completely opposite. Like you have a whole family I don't, you know, like
we have completely different lives.
Yeah.
Completely. Like you're on one end of the spectrum and I'm on the complete other end of the friggin' spectrum. Like there is no similarities in terms of our life, daily life.
Yes.
That we have in common.
Even our likes and our dislikes are very different, but the thing that bonds us is that we choose to be each other's friends, and we have this great friendship because of it. And like life sometimes throws curveballs at you. Mm-hmm. I call you for advice and I want to know, like, where the hell do you get the good advice that you give me? Because
you know, that's a really good question. I'm not going to lie. That's a very good question. And I don't really look at it as advice. I more look at it like when you call me and you have any kind of situation, you know, you're getting into, like you're starting a new job, or you decide, you know what, I'm going to go away to Barbados for a couple of months and kind of clear my head and anything at all. The first thing I think about is, knowing Anna, she's already thought about this about 100 times before she even brought this up.
That's so true.
Like, no, seriously. Like, not one time, not two times. Like, literally, Anna has sat down and thought about this about 100 times. And I know you coming to me, you've already... not that you have made up your mind, but you have a clear indication in your head what it is that you want to do. What I do at that point is I listen to your thought process. I will ask you the questions. Why are you doing this first and foremost? Or why are you thinking this way? Like I always ask you the whys. And then from you, whatever your answer is, that's kind of where I go. That's where I take my mind. Like if, like when you decided, okay, I'm going to go to Barbados for a couple of months and, you know, I'm going to try, cause you were going through a really hard time and, you know, you just needed, you kind of needed to find yourself again.
Yes.
And I remember you having that conversation with me and I asked you, I said, why do you think Barbados is where you need to go? And you said to me, because that's where home is. Like I feel at home and I haven't felt at home in a very long time. And you didn't mean physically being in Barbados as home. You've like felt, you haven't had that homey feeling in yourself for a very long time and you felt like you lost it.
Yeah.
And when you told me that, I knew you going there was the right decision. And that's why I was like, you know what, sweetheart, if this is what you need to do right now for yourself, you do that, you take your time, and I told you this, I said, be patient with yourself. It's not gonna happen overnight. Give yourself that time, how much ever time it is, but just go there and find what it is that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And that's why the minute you said to me, I haven't felt like I've been at home within myself for a really long time, to me, that statement in itself is, there's so much behind that statement. There's such a powerful thing in you saying that, because if you're not feeling at home within yourself, there's so much confusion, like everything you do, everywhere you go, like there's just going to be so much confusion within yourself. There's going to be so much noise in your head. Like, am I doing the right thing? Why am I even here? Why am I going to this, you know, this girl's night out right now? Like you didn't have that peace within yourself. I mean, you don't have that peace within yourself. Mm-mm. You can't function. I'm sorry, for myself, at least, if I don't have that peace within myself, I can't function. And you needed to do that. And that's why when you ask me about the advice that I give you, I don't have a book. I'm not one to sit there and watch a lot of talk shows. I'm not one to sit there and read those books about.
Yeah, that's why we're so opposite, right?
I'm not that. No, that's the thing. Like, you do that. I don't. But I try to always put myself in your position. Whatever it is that you tell me that you're going through, I always try to put myself in your shoes, and I try to feel what you're feeling and what I would want you to say to me, right? Yeah. And it honestly comes from a very genuine place when I tell you things, even when I'm being hard on you. It doesn't come from a place of jealousy. It doesn't come from a place of malice, of anger, nothing like that. It truly comes from a place of, I want you to be happy. I want you to feel at peace with yourself. And I guess once we get into the conversations, the advice, I don't know, maybe that's how it ends up sounding like advice, I guess.
Here's the thing that I hear now that I hear you talk through the process is, which I've never heard before, but Empathy is what you're doing. Like, empathy is when you're able to put yourself in someone else's shoes, feel their feelings and think about how the situation might feel for them. And then you respond from that place.
Yeah.
So you are being very empathetic. I want to switch a little bit to parenting because there's such a fine line between being a parent, being a friend. Mm-hmm. Parents have this authority over you as a child, which sometimes lasts forever. I know that for me, if I walk into my mom's house, I'm still always that girl that's 16. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know how to shake that. But we are also very good friends. Like, we talk on the phone. And with both my parents, I have such a good relationship with both of them. But how do you be friends when you're also their authoritarian parent figure? Like, they're the person that tells them what to do, you know? Because the reason I asked you is because you're good at that. You're like really, really good at that.
The thing is, and thank you very much for that, my love. The thing is, I'm still in the process of figuring it out, to be honest, because Terrell is 18 and Izzy is 11. I told you earlier in the conversation, she's going to be 12 in October. And boys and girls are very different. And not that they're, for the obvious reasons, they're different, but the experiences I went through with Terrell, and you know, he's autistic as well. So that was another challenge. I don't want to use the word challenge. That
was an opportunity for you to,
that
was an opportunity for you to do this differently.
Exactly.
You
know? It was just another completely different experience in itself. And then with Izzy, it's almost like night and day with the two of them. Terrell and I are now at a point in our relationship because he's older, you know, he's 18, he's young adult. I'm not saying that he doesn't see me as his mom, because he's just such a respectful, responsible kid. And him and I are at a point now where we can have the adult conversations, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't have to sugarcoat anything. I don't have to be like breaking everything down for him. So if he does something and I don't agree with it, I can go to him and be like, yo, what the hell, man? As opposed to, okay, do you want to explain to me why you did that or why you said that? Do you know what I mean? I can approach it differently, you know, because he's young adult. We can have kind of those adult conversations. Mm-hmm. With Isabella, she's still fairly young and she's going into those teenage years really soon. And I don't know for anybody else that's listening to this podcast, but any of you that have kids, the kids these days are growing up too freaking fast. I remember being her age and looking like I was 11. Right. I look at her And she looks like she's freaking 14, 15 years old easily.
Yeah.
And not only just physically, but mentally, the things that these kids are thinking. So right now, I can't be Isabella's friend at all. I cannot be her friend. I can't sit here and be like, oh, I'm going to be the cool mom and allow you to do whatever you want. Like, we do have our girls conversation, like our you know, our time where we talk and stuff like that. But for right now, she doesn't need a friend. She needs a mom. But I also have to let her know, I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to give you advice. But at this point in time, if you expect me to be that person, if I say, Isabella, can you please go and clean your room? And you just, for whatever reason, feel like you don't want to clean it, not flying with me. Not yet. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. You know, so I'm still straddling that line of when is the appropriate time for me to start that friendship with her? Because right now, I can't. With Terrell, we have completely established a friendship. And I think it started with me and Terrell because once he turned like 16, I realized he's not a little boy anymore. And I had to start letting go a lot of things. And I had to start turning a blind eye to certain things. Like, I'm a very organized person. So if I saw his room was not clean the way I wanted it to be, I would friggin' lose my shit. I'd be like, why is that here? Why is that there? And then once he turned 16, I was like, you know what? I need to let go a little bit. And I need for him to figure out what's all right for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where our friendship started. Like earlier in our conversation, when you said like, there's no exact manual on how to be a good friend or, you know, the steps you take on how to have somebody, you meet somebody and how to make them a long-term friendship. There's nothing like that with parenting as well, right? Mm-hmm. It literally is day to day. And I think ultimately what these relationships are, whether they're friendships, whether they are relationships between you and your kids, between your parents, I think the important thing to remember is if the investment is worth your time, then you know to yourself that it will be a long lasting thing. If I feel so strongly about investing my time in you, then know that this is not short term.
Yeah.
Right. This is long term for me. And this is what you and I have done in adulthood, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's why I told you in the beginning of this conversation that I feel like our friendship truly, truly started that day that you reached out to me on Facebook and I had no clue who you were. And then you said, Anna, I was like, okay. And we literally, like, it didn't stop after that. It just kept building and building and building.
Yeah. And I think it's important to say at this point too, is we have not seen each other in
more than 3 years. No, more than 3 years.
But what I mean to say is we've only seen each other in the last, whatever, 25 years or so, maybe mm-hmm. twice, right? Yep. Twice. Yep. And we would always see each other obviously as children, but absolutely. When our lives changed, then we saw each other twice. And I think, you know, scientifically, I like to bring science into these things because I like to understand how the brain works, you know? Yeah. So there's a lot of talk about dopamine today and like that you get dopamine when you go onto Instagram or when something makes you feel good. When you kiss a guy, you get dopamine in your brain and, or you have a good conversation with somebody, you get dopamine in your brain. Hanging out with your friends, you also get dopamine in your brain. Like that social interaction is a good feeling to you. Mm-hmm. Even if sometimes you don't want to go and you're like, oh, I should cancel. Oh, I should cancel. And then you get there and then you leave and you're like, oh, that was pretty good. That it wasn't sad. So bad.
Yeah.
You know,
it was, yeah,
that all of that is you're getting that little bit of dopamine in your brain. So I say that because sometimes like I'm kind of an introvert, but I don't know, because I love hanging out with people too. And I am very social. Mm-hmm. I do like human connection. So I think I do get some dopamine from that. But
yeah.
You and I, we don't have to physically meet up. We have good conversations on the phone.
Yeah.
And it feels good for both of us.
Yeah.
I think some people think that friendship, you have to see the other person once a week. You have to talk on the phone a certain amount of times. You have to text every single day. And that's what I mean when I say there's no manual for friendship. Yeah. Because friendship really doesn't require all of those things. Like for me personally, it I need to know that I can trust that person, yes. and that there's a presence, that they're present in my life and I'm present in their life. And that makes me feel like we have a good friendship. So presence for us at a distance, because we live in different countries, is texting every once in a while,
yes.
being there for each other when we, when we're going through something, or then just being there for each other when we want to share like some crazy stuff yes, that has happened. Like that's yeah, funny that's, as hell.
It could be something stupid. It could be something funny. It could be something serious. It doesn't matter. I don't necessarily have to be around you in order for us to maintain any kind of relationship. I think we live in a world now where it makes it that much easier for us to maintain our relationship, because you know, you have video calling now, you have texting, there's so many different social media platforms that you can use to be in touch with somebody, you know, that it just allows you, if you want, and that's the part of it, it's a choice.
Right.
If you don't want to, then obviously any kind of relationship will struggle. But if you choose to invest, if you choose to put the time in, it will work, right? It ultimately is a choice. You make the choice every day and you say, I choose to want this friendship to work. Same mm-hmm. thing with me. I make the choice and say, I choose to want this friendship to work. If we don't make that choice of wanting it and investing in it, then it will just fizzle, right?
Right. And I think that there's such a good substance to our friendship as well. Like it is not like some high turnover friend, like, you know, like you have some people have friends for 3 months or no. I think we live in a world too, where like people are so accessible, right? Like that you could have a million people in your life and they're here today, gone tomorrow.
Yes.
And yeah. I think that the difference is when you have a friendship based on substance, when you really know a person and the other person really knows you. And listen, not every friendship has to be like that too. You can have friends where they're your brunch friends, or, you know, like there's
friendships
at different levels. And the reason I bring up dopamine too, is because you may be a person that doesn't require presence as much, right? Like we clearly are people that don't require seeing each other, but there might be some people that
need it.
Yeah. That need it. Like the way I think about dopamine, for example, is like, if I get that dopamine rush, like seeing someone, you know, just once a month, and that's enough for me, them requiring to see me more. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've ate this meal. I'm full. I'm not going to want any more food. I'm good. You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's like also knowing what you require in a friendship, like thinking about what you need in a friendship, right? And seeing if that lines up too, in a kind of a weird methodical way, because, you know, take the emotions out of it, like see what your body needs as well, you know,
absolutely.
From a friendship.
I think ultimately what it comes down to, and I think what I want, and I hope I want my kids to also know as well as they get older, because not only do I want them to find people that they can have lasting relations like this with, but I also want them to be able to give to a relationship, to a friendship, what we're giving to one another.
Yeah.
I think ultimately what I want them to know is the one thing that will help you maintain long-lasting relationships is, do not go into anything with expectations.
Yeah.
Right? Because the minute you go into things with expectations, what follows after that is judgment. Yeah. I mean, it goes hand in hand. If you're going into anything, whether it's a new job, whether it's meeting somebody for the first time, a new relationship, anything, you go into it with expectations, it's going to follow with some kind of judgment. And it doesn't have to be bad judgment or good judgment. It's just don't do things expecting something. If you want to really do something, then do it just because you want to do it. Right. And it's like me getting up every day, choosing that, you know, I want to cook a meal for my family. You know, mm-hmm. It's not that I have to cook a meal for my family. I mean, I don't have to.
You could order in. Yeah.
Exactly, right? Would it be a good idea for me to feed my family 100%?
Yeah.
It would be, right? It would be. But I want to do it.
Right.
And there's a difference. Like, I want to make sure that they have a meal at the end of the day, because to me, that's how I'm showing them that I love you guys. I want to feed you guys. With you, me investing my time with you is me showing you that I want to make this work. I want to keep our friendship going. I make the time, and I choose to make the time because I love you. I want you to be well. I want to hear what's going on in your life. I want to make sure that if there's anything bothering you, that you, this is a safe place for you to come
mm-hmm.
and just spill it, mm-hmm. just let it all out. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think the one thing is don't go into things with that expectation of, oh, I expect this to be that, or don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I mean, I feel that from you. So I think that like you're genuine in it. I'm the same way with you. Like, you know, you can bring anything to me. And I think the thing that we do have in common is that we are very whole people, and we're also very genuine to each other and yeah. know who we are. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that makes for a really good friendship. And maybe that's a good part to like kind of end on. Like, what do you think makes a whole person? What makes you whole?
Okay. I mean, every day I'm learning new things about myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I the same person I was 5 years ago? Hell no, mm-hmm. absolutely not. Do mm-hmm. I think that I'm a little bit wiser than I was? Absolutely. But that's personally to me. Other people might tell you no. It doesn't matter to me, but I do think that I'm a little bit wiser than I was. But my life that I have, I chose to get married. I chose to have a couple of kids. I chose this life.
Right. You all participated in all of the decisions.
All of it. And those were my choices. And without those things in my life, I don't know if I would consider myself whole. I'm not saying that without them, I wouldn't be who I am today, because I can definitely hold my own as an individual, 100%. But they are a big part of what makes me want to get up in the morning, you know, what drives me to want to, again, go back to making a meal for my family. Mm-hmm. Those are the comforts in my life. That's my safe space,
mm-hmm.
my family. That's my safe space. Like, I'm sure you have a safe space that makes you feel whole as well, but they're my home. This house that I live in, this is not a home. Anywhere I live, that's not a home. Wherever they are, that's my home, right?
Yeah, right?
And that's what makes me feel whole. And this is why and no marriage is perfect. And my husband and I, we have our ups and downs, but if you ask me if I'd rather go through it with somebody else or with him, I'll go through it 10 times over, 100 times over with him than anybody else, because we have now created home amongst ourselves. So that's what makes me feel whole. And again, I'm not saying that I don't feel whole by myself, but my family dynamic is what makes me personally feel at home and makes me feel complete.
Yeah, that's so great that you said that, because I'm different, right?
Yes. Like, that's what I'm saying. We have completely different views on this.
Yeah. And I think that what makes me whole is the fact that I find, I don't know another way to say this, but I find God in the very ordinary moments of my life, mm-hmm. or divinity, or the very ordinary moments of my life sometimes are very extraordinary, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I love that. That's what makes me feel whole. Like this morning I got up, I was making coffee. I made myself such great breakfast, my favorite breakfast. And it just feels like, wow, I love living this
life
that I have. You know, I meditated, I go for walks, and I love getting up in the morning and going for a walk in my neighborhood. You know, I love writing. Yesterday I wrote 6 miles, which in the morning, and I was just like, whoa, okay, wow, we have some energy here. Like,
that's awesome though, because you get to, and knowing you, like anybody that knows you well knows that you need your space.
Yes.
You freaking need your space. And when you need that space, it's like you're not compromising that for nothing. Like, you are just taking that and you're going with it. And when you decide that, okay, I could be around people right now, then you'll be around people. So that ride for you, the fact that you rode that far and that long, you needed it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like being around my friends, like being the person that shows up for my friends makes my life very meaningful. Yes. You know, being able to cook a great meal for my friends makes my life very meaningful. Being able to travel home to Barbados and seeing all of my friends there and going to their homes and hanging out with their parents, like all of those things makes my life very meaningful. I think that the fact that we both have meaningful lives to us are what also helps our friendship. Like, we're not bringing our insecure selves to each other.
No, we're not. And it's like you said earlier in the conversation, like, we literally are completely opposite people.
Yes.
Literally. Like, if you really sit down and think about it, like, we really are, like, and we live such different lives.
Yes, like, I'm living out of a suitcase sometimes. Yeah, and you are so grounded.
Yeah, you know, like it's just different. But I think what that does for us, you know, they kind of say opposites attract.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it is. I mean, or maybe, you know what? And I have to say, like, maybe God just destined this to happen. Who knows?
I often think that I couldn't have done this lifetime without you being also
absolutely
here.
And I feel the same in this way lifetime too. I feel the same way. Like, I, like, this wasn't just a happening because our parents met. Like I said, you and I could have chosen in adulthood not to maintain a friendship. And that's why I say I think this was destined to happen. This is something we were meant to be a part of each other's lives. And I know it sounds so freaking corny to say
corny.
But no, it's true. I mean, and you know what? I'm not afraid to be the person to say the cringy stuff. Like, you know me already.
Yes.
I'll freaking come out and I'll say the cringiest shit and I will own that shit.
Right.
Don't give a crap. Like, yes. Period. Yeah. But I do truly believe that it wasn't just something. And we did have that break in our relationship where I left home and I had no clue where you went. I had no idea you even left Barbados. I did not know anything. I didn't have any contact information for you, nothing. So we had a couple of years where
we found ourselves in lives.
You know,
we found our lives.
Like, different lives. We start living different lives without one another. And then out of nowhere, just God decided these two bitches need to get back together. like fuck that shit. Come on, girl. Yep. I got a bigger plan for you.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, we willingly chose to have each other in our lives.
Exactly,
it's still been like that.
Exactly. So a couple of things before I guess we end the call. If I want to leave anything with anybody, is no expectations. No judgment. If it's important to you, invest the time. And not just invest it, but choose to invest the time. Those are the four things I think that has gotten you and I where we are today.
To
be honest,
and empathy. I think too, empathy.
Absolutely.
Being able to put yourself in the other person's shoes and
feel what they're feeling, try to understand what they're going through, and, you know, just be there, be present, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we're here.
Yeah. This has been one of my favorite podcast episodes to record. I'm so happy right now.
Oh, I'm happy. You know what? When you asked me about it on Friday, like, I was like, yeah, for sure. And then after a while, I thought about it. I'm like, oh my God, like, can I do this?
You can absolutely do it. And you did.
No, but you know what I mean, right?
I know.
I was nervous and stuff, but as soon as I got on the phone with you, it was just like, just having a conversation with Anna, like,
Yes.
This is nothing. Like, what was I freaking out about?
Exactly. Exactly. And now everyone's going to hear, like, just
our point of view.
Our point of view, our friendship.
Yeah.
And what makes it work. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making the time.
Anytime. And you know what? When we cut this call, if you want to call back again, we can continue.
Okay. All right. I love you.
Love you too, babe. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
How I Got Through It is edited by Rihanna Smith. If you're enjoying the show, feel free to subscribe to Apple or Spotify so you never miss an episode. You can also rate the show and feel free to leave a comment. We read all of them. Thanks.